Hello and welcome to Gaming Times, your weekly video game podcast about
that gaming life.
I am one of your hosts, Isaac, and I'm joined by Patrick.
What's up, man? I finally got to see Black Adam.
Oh, how'd you like it? I've heard it looked like another, what critics didn't like it, but audiences liked it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, but you know, I walked in with the level of expectations. You know, we talk about this all the time. So I walked in with the level of expectations, and it was great, man, for me. Like, I had a blast. It was actually funnier than I thought it would be for a superhero movie. There was certainly, one scene just had me in stitches, bro. Like, it was crazy. But, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it's nice to actually, my favorite reviewer of all movie reviewers is Jeremy Johns. Shout out to Jeremy Johns.
Yes.
And what he said about the third act is, like, true. Like, by the time I got to the third act, like, the actual villain of the movie, yeah, I didn't really care about that individual, you know, the villain. I was like, yeah, whatever, bro. But the movie was so fun for the whole ride that I was like, cool. See, it was not mad I spent my money at all.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear. I haven't made it out to watch that yet. I was thinking of probably picking it up at the dollar theater. Or I guess the dollar theater isn't a dollar anymore, right? It's probably like $8 or whatever, because movie tickets are like 15. But yeah, probably pick it up there or just watch it streaming. So for this week, Patrick, this is Gaming Times. We post every Monday at noon. We're going to be talking about the God of War leaks, Capcom sales report, or financial report, where most of their sales are now digital, skill-based matchmaking in multiplayer games, Xbox potential price hikes at some more game patch news, and then ending it with a question from the Twitterverse. Before we get into anything like that, Patrick, what have you been playing this last week?
So, played a little Apex, had a little bit of fun, had a little bit of heartache, you know, typical Apex sessions, but got some more wins in, of course. I actually had a couple Bangalore wins. It's been a while since I ran some Bang, but, pretty fun, you know, seeing all the stuff about the new map and the new legend. The new legend seems to make a defensive team, I think, kind of busted. Obviously, they're not out yet or whatever, but when that legend comes out, It's gonna be interesting. So I'm like looking forward to seeing some pro comp stuff after that, because I'm just a little old scrub out here. Mm-hmm. And then I played a lot of Ni No Kuni. I'm probably 40 hours in now or something like that, because I had to do some like leveling. I had to look up like where you power level. Every RPG normally has a spot like that, and I finally found it. A couple things that are kind of annoying me about the game: your MP. Oh, your magic points seem to be like overly constrained. Another thing too is with a traditional JRPG, you only have to worry about your party. But when you add the pseudo Pokemon element, now you have to level up a bunch of different like creatures. And when you transform them, right? Because you can transform them twice, they start back at level one.
Oh.
So, like, there are certain times when I kind of feel a little Mass Effect 2 planet probe searching type deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I really want to progress with the game, but I really need this creature to be level whatever, but I have to start him back at one. You know what I mean? So I'm just like
artificially padding the game even more
than a normal RPG. Yeah, than a normal JRPG to me. And I'm not, that doesn't mean I'm like overly down on the game. I'm not saying the game is terrible. I'm not, don't take it off the deep end or something like that. Not you, but anybody listening. But it's just so noticeable that it's kind of annoying. I think I have a couple like major sections left, and then I can, like roll credits if I so choose. But that was something that I didn't, I just don't find enjoyable. Because like the way you have to go power levels is, it's not terrible, but you have to go to certain spots, and then it's tough. Also, I don't understand the flow of spells. Like, so let's take Final Fantasy, for example. If you go back to the old days, you'll have Fire 1, 2, and 3, right? But later you'll have Fire, Fyra, and Fyraga. You'll know which fire spell is more powerful. And like,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to like break that down in Ni No Kuni. Like for me, if you look at the spells, unless you have like a guy next to you or something, because as you look at the spells, they're not listed like that on your familiars, and you, the main character, only get so many spells. So like, you can't just be like, I don't want to play with familiars, I'm gonna run with just my dude, because you don't get spells like that. It's designed where you have to kind of use the familiar. So it's very, very challenging. One other thing that I found funny is I was looking, I was like, I bet Ni No Kuni had a strategy guide. I bet it did. Someone like looked it up. The hardcover strategy guide was like $50. I was like, man, that looks really familiar. So I walk up in the game room to the JRPG section, and there it is, still in the wrapper. The Ni No Kuni strategy guide.
Yes. So
I just thought that was funny. Nice. Yeah, it made me laugh. Like, oh, I did get that. That's right.
Now, before we get too far away from like the magic, I mean, could it obviously be like a the more magic or what is it, MP that the spell uses? That's the stronger one.
Yeah,
is
I mean,
something
so
like that. That's there is kind of obvious to see.
Yeah, they do. They do. They have that. Then they have the single spells that attack a single target and an area target. But yeah, there is spells that take more MP. But there's some spells that are the same MP. And like also there's like you know you have your magic types right? So you have like water, fire, and then there's storm. But storm seems to encompass electricity and wind. And I was like, why didn't you just have electricity and then wind? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I have to go read the spell to see like what it's doing. And that just kind of annoyed me. There's like quality of life stuff I wish they would change too. For example, there's this alchemy section where you can create, so you can craft an item, right? So let's say I'm gonna make a sandwich. That's a simple item, right? It's like one loaf of bread and then a thing of meat, right? Or whatever. I forget what the meat's called. Boom, I can make a sandwich. But what if I want to make 10 sandwiches because I bought that many resources? I can't do that. At least not that I found a way to yet.
So you have to make it like one at a time.
I have to make one at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And when I'm going through a dungeon, so to speak, that's annoying, bro. Because I have to craft, like, for example, to restore your magic, it's like, it starts with like iced coffee. And then you take iced coffee and you have to craft up to a strong coffee. And then from a strong coffee, you have to craft up to a cappuccino or or espresso, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, if I could just craft 20 strong coffees to start, we'd be good. Because then I craft how many ever the next one I want, right? But you just can't, it doesn't work like that, that I've seen. Now, I don't know if I'm lacking some sort of recipe yet, but the recipe I'm using is in the Wizard's Companion. So it's not like I don't know what it is. It's already in the daggone book. So that to me is kind of annoying because a lot of times it's cheaper to craft the resource than to buy it. So for example, iced coffee, I think it's like 200 per, right? And strong coffee is 800 per. So two iced coffees and a spring water, which you can get on the world map, right? Or enemy can drop it or whatever. Technically that's cheaper. That's half the price of a strong coffee. So I always want to craft it versus buying it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only craft one at a time.
Yeah,
and there's no speed up button either. Like a Trails has like speed up buttons. So if I go to the inn and sleep, I can hit the speed up button and the game will like load it quicker. There's nothing there. So it's just something I'm noticing. I mean, it's very PS3 era. And I mean that no disrespectful way. You can just see like if I played this game for 100 hours, I could have had a list for the dev team of like things that I think would be quality of life better because there's no need for that time burn for me waiting, watching animations and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think that's something too with like those older games as well, the kind of quality of life isn't quite there yet just mm-hmm. because maybe nobody has had that idea or they're padding time or whatever. So that's always nice with remakes and things like that where they do add a speed up button or a fast mm-hmm. forward button and little things like that.
Yeah, because Trails did add it later. Good point.
Yeah, and then I think that's a very modern game thing, which kind of plays into all the Twitter question that we're going to have later on today. But mm-hmm. yeah. Anything else?
Oh yeah, that was really it for the most part.
Oh, I haven't been playing too much. A little bit of Hades, a little bit of Rocket League, but I did try to play Overwatch 2, or I have been playing Overwatch 2 with some friends of mine. Usually there's about three of us total, mm-hmm. and I don't like that game.
Oh, like, do tell, sir.
I'm not sure if that's shocking anybody here. I know I played a little bit of I think 5 or 6 hours of Overwatch 1 when it came out. Mm-hmm. And this one I just don't like at all. Well, not that it's any different. It's just so tactical. And first things I like. Okay, I like the character designs. I like kind of they kind of revolutionized the hero shooter, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't think we would have things like Apex or I don't know, pick another popular hero shooter without Overwatch.
Well, I think Team Fortress 2 might wanna say you're trying to take my beer, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but okay, I guess in terms of like the team shooters with like each character having being like fully fleshed background stories and things like that.
Oh, you mean adding the content along with the game? So yes. Adding this. Okay, I'll give it that. Even though that came later, I'll still give you that one.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and obviously that came later, but obviously you know just. Well, I guess maybe even more iconic, but it's so you have two healers, two DPS, and one tank. And what sucks, at least with the game modes we're playing, it forces people to a single role. So at the beginning, when you first do matchmaking, you know, you can pick what it's like, oh, I only want to do DPS. All I want to do is support. All I want to do is be the tank. You can pick the roles, but once you're in the game, you are trapped in that role. And that's one thing I don't like. I get why they do it, because there is a balance to this game. And this is why it's also very frustrating because of the tactics of the game. There is very much balance where everybody can't just go and be, you know, Soldier 76 or DPS, because you're probably going to lose unless you're just that good going up against people who are that bad, which is possible. You know, I've seen pro players. I've seen like funny pro videos where pro players all play Mercy and they still murder everybody. On a normal casual lobby. But, you know, that's on the extreme. So what's frustrating with that is like, okay, cool, we need more DPS right now because our DPS players aren't playing so well. Or, you know, they're making this really big push. We don't necessarily need a healer right now because maybe we killed the healer and you died and then you respawned. Like, oh, let me respawn as, you know, DPS or a tank to kind of help hold a point or push it back or something like that. You have no flexibility there. So you're stuck in your role that you're playing. So, and even that's 5v5. So even with three players on that team, if your three players, because it's been it happens when like, if your three players are the two DPS and the support, that's happened to me. Your healers aren't that good, or because they're not communicating with you or you're not communicating with them, it becomes almost impossible to win. And then there's like things like, there was one match we were playing where it was clearly like, okay, they pushed us back. They team wiped us. Okay, cool. We have to respawn. Okay, don't just run in there by yourself. That's usually how you die anyways. Like, cool. People weren't doing that. But then it was like, okay, they're pinning us. They have the high ground and they're pinning us down. Okay, my limited experience with this game, I'm like, okay, if we get something like a Reinhardt and a Widowmaker and use Reinhardt to block their shots and Widowmaker to pick off their snipers, while maybe getting like a Reaper to go like rush in the back, and then the healers keeping the Reinhardt and Widowmaker you know, alive while the Reaper goes and flanks them or something like that, because Reaper can kind of, one of his abilities, he kind of like goes through walls and bullets and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, like we could do something like that, but because we're not communicating, or they're not communicating with us, or we're not communicating with them, or both, you can't come up with those solutions. And so then it's like, okay, you're playing D.Va, and you're just getting clapped before you're even getting close enough to be effective, because we have no shields. You know, there's no way to get you there safely. So I think things like that, why it's even more frustrating, even like in my opinion, more frustrating than something like Siege, where Siege, you can still have someone be like, oh, I don't want to be a team player. I want to go and frag, you know, I want to go kill people. But they can still do that relatively effectively. Where I think in Overwatch, you just can't. Personally, what I've seen.
Okay. It's weird for me when you add like so many characters with different abilities and different, because don't the tanks have different life bars technically?
Yeah. So like Mercy is like the weakest healer. I think she has like 100 hit points. DPS usually has like 100, 200 hit points too, but your tanks could have like up to 600. So
yeah.
They can take like a lot.
Yeah. But that's what's weird for me. Like that whole scenario, like mentally for me, is I have to now track something that has like a ton more hit points than, you know, that's weird for me for game balance of my own like mental tracking. So I think that if I remember correctly, that's part of the reason me and Overwatch, I was just like, yo, this isn't for me. Cause like I, on the health side, I prefer everything to be the same. My damage can be different, but like I prefer that to be a standard thing, but in Overwatch it's not.
Yeah. So, and that's where the strategy comes in, right? Where it's, okay, as a healer, usually like I try to like just team up with the support, because I'm like, okay, we keep our support live, especially if one of the guys I'm playing with is a support, or one of my friends I'm playing with is a support, because then we can talk about like, hey, by the way, they rush past you and they're coming to kill me now, because they have to kill me as a healer, because if they don't kill me, they're never killing you. And so, you know, and it's things like that where you're playing, it's kind of sometimes you can get lucky where it's, oh, hey, like this team mashes well, pretty well together, or we just get lucky with the flank. Like, even though a scenario when I was playing, I was a healer, I was playing with two of my other friends, and we were attacking a point, and we just kept going down the middle. And everybody was down the middle. The whole other team was down the middle. Our team was down the middle. I was like, hey, we should go to the side. It's like, no. We died. We come back. And I was like, dude, just follow me. Let's go around this other side. Let's just trust me. We went around the side, dropped on him, wiped, like, me and him essentially wiped the whole team out.
He was, yeah, right.
Oh, Isaac, that's a good idea. I'm like, yes, those three paths for a reason.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. The one I said a couple minutes ago. Yeah, it was a great idea then, too.
So, you know, so it's like things like that where there's like always clearly three paths. And it's, you know, trying. And I think we won a game like that, too, where I was playing, you know, we had a rando who I just always like, oh, we're going to go this way. But I'm like, oh, well, the rando's going this way and he's the DPS and I'm a healer. I was like, well, let me go with them. And then you guys have a healer and the support and a DPS. And then we like wrecked them because me and this DPS went around the corner, distracted them, and they just came up behind and wiped them out. And it's like, that's how you play this game. And so it's just kind of frustrating when people are just like running headlong in. And with some games too, that some games people are just better, right? But it's, yeah. So that's why I don't really like that game. It's very frustrating. I think it'd be more fun with five people all communicating. But.
Well, therein lies the crux of every team shooter, right? It's this, I complain about the same thing every week on Apex, right? Mm-hmm. If you get a team where no one wants to work together, it is incredibly hard to play. There was a game where I was playing Apex Bangalore. I'm running Bangalore. I have a Lifeline and a Bloodhound. So me and the Bloodhound working together, great. The Lifeline is like the most... I'm going to go forward, send it, push on every enemy lifeline I've ever seen. I was like, why do you play lifeline? That's just a weird character to do that with, right? You take away the team benefit. Anyway, I don't even want to go off on that tangent. So they get eliminated. Nobody was toxic, though. They just stayed in the game and watched us. And we ended up winning the game because at the end, so the circle's closing on one of the buildings and in Stormpoint. And so I tell the Bloodhound, I put my headset on because it wasn't on post the game. I say, look, when the ring starts closing, they're going to start fighting because we're inside. They're not going to want to push inside. So what we're going to do is, you have ultimate. I have ultimate. I'm going to drop my ultimate to ward everybody off. Then when the ring starts closing, when they start fighting, I'll smoke out the bottom. You can pop ultimate. You'll see everybody. I won't see nobody. I don't have a digi threat, but you'll see everybody. And then they won't see us and we can wreck them. Bro, it was a wash at the end. Like, we just destroyed them. So they started fighting. Zip, done. But that's teamwork, right? Mm-hmm. If we didn't have that team conversation, it would have been different. And that's why I say, like, for these people who, you know, get on a team game just to want to do their own thing, why are you here? Like, why are you playing a team game? I don't understand it.
Well, I don't get how people, this sounds messed up. I don't get how people have fun playing these games. Because how is this fun? How is this fun when you're just, like, running in there headlong by yourself and just getting mopped up every single time? No,
this is what I'm talking about. When this is why, respectfully speaking, I hate the era of Twitch. Because everybody wants to jump out there, do all this crazy stuff. And then when it goes bad, they just leave the game. I'm like, it's like all they want is highlights. I got into it. Matter of fact, this is funny. We're talking about this. I was playing a ranked game. And I'm telling the team up front, like, yo, I don't have any guns, like, we can't put. Like, I don't have weapons to go just, like, fight another team. So, like, but they go push anyway, bro. They both get eliminated, too. Like, they both get mopped up, bro. It was priceless, right? So then they're like, yo, bro, you just want to sit there and do nothing? I was like, so you're telling me after I tell you that I don't have the weapons to fight, you're going to go fight. Well, what do you think's going to happen? So then I was like, yo, I'm just going to stay alive. Like, bump y'all, bump your banners. I can't get them no way. They're camping the banners like everybody does in rank, waiting on you to try to do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out, right? So then I survive. I get out. I make it. And they were like, yo, bro, you suck. And I was like, see, that's the problem with y'all, man. Some of y'all just want to look good. You want to have clips and highlights and all this. I want to be good. It's a difference. And so I eventually, and they were talking trash. So like, I was like, yo, so I muted everybody. You know, me and the headset. I don't care about them. And then I was like, I bet I end the game with positive RP, though. I said, I bet I end this game and I'm positive. And y'all going to stay because you want to be positive. Watch. Sure enough. Now, I didn't get a lot of points. I got like 8. But I was positive, though, after a game that started like trash. And I'm with you. I'm like, how is this fun to get on here and act kind of crazy for like, no, I just don't get it, bro. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, real talk. Like, I don't.
It's so yeah, but you know, I guess too, if people are gaming and having fun, then good for them.
Yeah, I'm not like I said. If that's really what you want to do, do it. I just, like you said, man, I'm just like, yo, I don't know what you're, I don't know what you're doing, bro. But hey, like you said, that's why we do it, and that's why I tell everybody, if you can find, you know, your friend or whatever on there, hey, get on with them.
Well, that's the only reason why I was playing Overwatch is because my friends wanted to. I was like, cool.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm only here for you guys.
Literally, yeah, I'm here because y'all are on, and even though I hate everything going on, we can still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. Yeah.
All right, Bab. Any pickups real quick?
Yeah, man, I got. I got a bunch of stuff in plays. I'm working on a picture here coming soon. I actually, when we get done recording today, I gotta go pick up some more games that a store imported for me. So I'll have a bunch of like pictures really soon. But right now, I'll just say that I got Persona 5 Royal on Switch Steelbook. My collector's edition stuff hadn't got here yet. I think they said mid to late November, but at least I have my Switch Steelbook too. So I now have that game just about everywhere. Can't wait to get to it. That's why I'm trying. When Ni No Kuni's over, bro, and at that point, I'm sure I'll be ready to drop Ni No Kuni. No disrespect to the game. Like I said, very serviceable game. But I'm really ready to to play Persona 5.
Really. I think it's better.
There's a bunch of JRPGs I can name that's better than Ni No Kuni. And that's no disrespect to those who love it. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad game, but like I said, it's just, you just know me. Like, Trails, I'm sure Persona 5 is better from everything I've seen and people I trust.
I'm just saying you're wrong. And, Ni No Kuni's not, that's what you're saying, right, Patrick? You're wrong, and Ni No Kuni is not a good JRPG. That's what I'm
saying. That's, you're crazy. But somebody on the internet's gonna clip me and now say that. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a decent game. It's just me and creature mechanics like that. That's why I don't play Pokemon. Like, I'm not into that. And I'm learning how much I'm not into it.
We learn together sometimes, Patrick. We learn together.
Yeah,
indeed. Okay, cool. Let's roll into our first story then. Let's talk about this God of War leak, man. Have you seen any spoilers or anything like that?
No, this is the first. No. Well, my timeline's been 100% clear.
Mine too.
And
squeaky.
Yeah, and this is the first time recently I just muted a bunch of words on my timeline just in case. Like, literally before we recorded today. Because I heard like the whole, there's like fights on YouTube with millions of views and all types of stuff. And I was just like, about that. And then, you know, I really respect Corey Barlog, at least from what I can see of him. I don't know him personally, but from what I can see of him, you know, I really respect what he does, what he brings to the industry and his thoughts and stuff, especially his AMA answers are always great. And he's just like, he put a tweet out there where he was like, you know, as much as I hate it now, it is understandable sometimes why there's just the internet key or download key on a disc to prevent leaks. I guess they're saying that Target, this is what I'm seeing reported online. So we'll just go with the old allegedly. I don't know. I haven't proved it, whatever. But the Target sold some games 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
That's how leaks got out there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, man, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just like, well, you know, we'll have to see, you know, what occurs. But I just feel bad for them because, you know, you put so much time, effort, and energy into the game, right? You're like, hey, this is really what we want to do this. We want to knock it out of the park. And then everybody doesn't get to enjoy and take in the game at the same time. And that just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I saw a tweet, and there was a developer, and he was like, I've been in this industry. He was like, for like 10 years or something like that. And he was like, the two games I've really worked on are The Last of Us Part 2 and God of War Ragnarok. And they both got leaked early. And I was like, oof.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I genuinely felt bad for Corey because I'm like, man. And like I said, I remember when I posted that first tweet because he was like, oh, you know, it's the review period. We're really worried. And I was like, man, you can sleep easy, man. It's good to go. And then next thing you know, I'm just like, God, man, leak here, leak there. I'm just like, I'm sorry, man. Like, that sucks. And it's just tough, man, because I definitely hope they never change to where you, you know, get the just only a download code. You know how I am about physical media.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt for him. But, you know, and how can you do that? And that just, you know, they're trying to get everything out to retailers early. So there's no drama. There's no like shipping delay that's going to occur. Right. So they got everything going and then boom, you know, I was just like, dang, man, I'm sorry. That's all I can say, dude. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Patrick, yeah, I think it's what sucks. I'm very lucky that nothing has hit none of my streams. YouTube, Twitter are my main probably social media outlets, right? And none of it got there yet. None of the leaks or whatever. So I think it's shocking, especially YouTube, because I think when I played the first the God of War 2018, part of the story was leaked to me through my like homepage on YouTube, which I was very upset about. So I saw all these leaks and I was like, oof, okay, like I'm gonna be a little bit cautious here. I'm, you know, keep an eye out and everything, but I don't know, we'll see how it goes. And even too, to be honest, when my YouTube spoiled the 2018 God of War for me, I still enjoyed that game. I still enjoyed that part of the game as well. So I don't think even if something accidentally pops up on my feed, I'll still be like, oh, okay, cool. That kind of sucks, but I'm still going to enjoy this game.
No. I mean, no matter what happens, I think we both can agree me and you are going to be playing the game. I mean, maybe I'll be a little behind you because Persona 5, but we're both going to play the game. Like I don't, you could like, somebody could like literally tell me everything. Yeah. I'd be like salty or a little sour, I guess, more specifically. I'd be like, dang, I ain't want to know all that till I played it. But nonetheless, I think with the first one being as good as it is, we're definitely going to play the game. I'm just hoping for more Valkyrie battles. Call me greedy. But
yeah, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun to do. Okay. Moving on. Let's talk about Capcom's earnings report. I think really the biggest thing here was what, like 91% of their sales were, they reported digital, while only like 8.5 they reported physical. So we talked about this a little bit before, and this is definitely the way the world's going, i.e. digital codes coming in collector's editions now with Sony and other companies as well. So Patrick, I know this doesn't surprise you at all. Are you still going to, I'm assuming you're still going to be the only one carrying the crusade, dying on that hill for that physical media, right?
That's me. Till it's over. You know what I mean? Till it's over. I'm always about the physical media. I get those who want to do different things. I've seen too much, bro. I've seen too much with what happens when you don't have it. You know what I mean? Shout out to Jihad. Hopefully, he got his stuff back at some point. Yeah, I can't do it. But the thing that I think is interesting. And also, I believe EA Germany dropped physical media. I believe that was announced last week, too. It just stood out to me is we're getting real close to where physical media is just a collector's item. And one of the things I didn't talk about in pickups, right, was, but I did put it on my Twitter at times, Pat, was I got a physical copy of Ikaruga for the Switch. And that was one of the most annoying games to run down. Like, it was absolutely annoying, bro. But I finally did it at a price I was comfortable with, pretty much the price I set out to pay for it. And the game on the Switch system, if you want it digitally, is like $15. It doesn't cost a lot. But if you want that physical one, I think when it launched, it was like $60. I didn't pay $60 for it. I wish I would have. But the point is, now that everyone knows that physical media is like a collector's item, it's kind of hard to...
Get stuff.
Yeah.
Because you have to beat the bots, you have to beat the scalpers, then you have to beat your average people like me and you too, to pre-order destination. When it drops, you have to be there, first 10 people to click, or you don't get it in time, and that's just crazy. So what's nice about digital games, right, it lets people get access to that game more, especially those older, super expensive games, right? We kind of talked about, Nintendo should just digitize the whole back catalog and let people buy the game again and again and again and again. But on the flip side of that, now if something is releasing physical, it's now a lot harder to get a hold of it. I mean, even if you look at, the Resident Evil 4 Collector's Edition, I feel like maybe 10 years ago, or maybe, I don't know, because maybe I just wasn't paying attention as much 10 years ago, but if it was like 10 years ago, you did not have to see that link and click on that link in the first minute to get one. Maybe you have like a day or two. But now it's like, oh, if you want any type of collector's edition, first 10 seconds. And now, even like you were saying too, Patrick, this could lead to, oh, if you just want a physical version of that game, you can't go to GameStop and be like, oh, do you guys have this game? No, we only ordered enough games that people pre-ordered. So we can order it for you and things like that. And so that sucks. You really have to hunt down games and things like that now.
Yeah, it's really crazy to me like where we've gone in that regard just that quick. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, yo, this, and here's the thing. You used to have what I like to call like the decision period, right? Where you could be like, oh, well, let me think about it. I got a day. Like you said, like I got a day. Let me think about it. We'll see what's up, right? Nah, bro. You got, when the link drops, you better know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you better hope the link's working too, because you can, you know, turn your kind of head. Link's not working. Remember my God of War story? Then somebody has to tell me, no, the link actually is working. Go back. Like, it's crazy, man. So it's gotten so bananas just to get collector's editions and or physical copies. And then another thing that makes it tough is, like, with a company like a Limited Run or something, they're not made to order. They're made by the bulk order at the start of the, you know, of the period, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't jump on it, like, I missed the shmup that I wanted to get, right? Recently, I missed it. Nothing I could do, bro. I just totally missed it. Didn't even know it went up. Now what do? I have to buy it from a reseller at twice the price?
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of crazy. Like, it's getting tough if you're a physical collector like myself. No one will ever get me to not be a physical collector first on games where the game is on the disc or ROM. But it actually is getting challenging. And this just shows me how much closer we are with each step where we're going and going and going towards an all-digital future. And I don't like where our rights are in that future as they sit today. If that makes, you know what I mean? Like, so as they sit today, I'm just like, I'm really like renting a license, and I'm like buying anything.
Yep.
And I do buy
that. And that's what you are, because you can't resell it. You can't give it to a friend to borrow. You can't, you know, if your account gets hacked or you get banned, you could lose your entire catalog as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have, especially those last two things, you have like zero control of it. The control is in the entity of the other person. So you're right. You're right with that. So I think that's the one big worrying thing about digital media still.
Yeah, because even if my account gets just obliterated, right? It would suck because I lose like a lot of save files in the way of, you know, because they're linked to your profile or whatever. But I still could play games. Like, I have a ton of games I can play with no profile. It's like, doop, I'm going to play. Mm-hmm. But without physical media, if your profile gets nuked, you're just kind of screwed. And
it's down and you can't update your PlayStation 20 or whatever, right?
Right, right. And if with the way these companies are responding as of late, and I'm not going to bash any particular company, some respond better than others. You know, we all know what's up, especially for some of our friends across the pond. But with the way they respond, you could be waiting for a response and then you could just be flat out told no or something. You have no recourse. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not about giving away that much control of one of my entertainment hobbies. It's why I still buy physical movies too. And I have a digital movie collection as well. It's because at the end of the day, I feel like I have something. As long as the game's on disc, like, for example, new Call of Duty's not on the disc, right? So you didn't buy anything. But as long as the game is on the disc.
And that's what's crazy, right? Where it's like this game comes with like a huge download, but they only used a couple megabytes on the disc. It's like, well, why isn't half of the download on the disc?
Right, right. Like, it's so, like I said, it's so crazy to me what a lot of these companies are doing. But for me, I was just like, yo, I can't give that away yet, because you don't, my rights aren't protected enough for the purchases I'm making. And I'm smart enough to know it. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm just like, yo, that's how I feel about it. You know, I gotta have my games under me. I'll buy digital on sale, though. I will always buy digital on sale.
Mm-hmm. Or like a second copy, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, because once I get a digital, you know, if I haven't opened the physical, it's never getting open, right? I literally keep it for exactly what I'm saying, like to have it around in case something goes wrong, some reason, I don't know, everybody goes bananas or something. Sure, whatever. But I'm not going to give anybody literally total control over my library like that. And especially when some companies have proven they can't be trusted with it. Like a Nintendo, you know, no disrespect intended, but how's everybody's, you know, how's that Wii U shop doing? You know what I'm saying? None of your stuff got pulled forward. So when the next Switch comes out, right, or the system after the next Switch, then what? Like, do I get that same library that I just invested, say, thousands of dollars in, or am I just screwed?
Exactly.
This is just a legit question.
Yep. So something, you know, we are going to have to keep an eye on as gamers going forward. Next thing I want to talk about too here, Patrick, on here is skill-based matchmaking systems. And this is something that you kind of will fall in on Twitter, or some Twitch streamers seem to have a big problem with this. But Patrick, I don't know. I'll give my opinion first.
Yeah. Let me.
I don't have a problem with skill-based matchmaking. Mm-hmm. I honestly maybe because I don't notice it enough on my day to day. I know we've kind of talked about sometimes with Rocket League just getting some garbo teammates. Sometimes I'll jump into a Call of Duty lobby and just get slapped halfway to Tennessee. But then there's other times I jump on and I'm the one doing the slapping. So it seemed relatively balanced to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know with Rocket League, at least in casual, the more casual matches you play and the more you win, the better people you get matched up with. So, I don't know. In theory, I guess it works. And from my experience, it works. Why do you think this is such a big hubbub now?
So, okay. For me, as Call of Duty has dropped, and it's obviously one of the biggest streamed games out there, I think my personal opinion is that Twitch streamers are mad because they can't look cool playing against people with lesser talent. So here's the thing, right? We often talk about Rocket League. We talk about Rocket League a lot on this show. Do you know if I jump into a Rocket League casual lobby, do you know what I'm likely to see now? I'm likely to see season something grand champion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see regular dudes, bro. I see all these dudes with incredible skill. And sometimes I get the bots on my team who, in my opinion, maybe they have the rank, but they definitely are not. They shouldn't be there. Maybe they were carried there. I don't know. But I'm playing these dudes and I'm like, yo. It's like a tough, everybody's flying, air dribbling, you got to make crazy saves. Like, it's a real game. And this is a casual queue. This is not my rank queue. And so I'm like, all right, obviously they don't put me up against bronzes. Them dudes wouldn't even want to play.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the whole point.
Imagine me, you, and a good friend against, bronzes, a full team of bronzes. It would be destructive. Mm-hmm. It would be incredibly disheartening for the other team. Now, I win some of those games against those grand champ teams. I lose some of those games against those grand champ teams. But I do get why it's there. So to me, right, when I'm looking at Call of Duty and streamers complaining or whatever, it's just now you can't look as good as you claim to be. Because now you have to play every game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get like,
you
when I
actually
get on Rocky,
have to be good.
Oh, you actually have to be incredible. Not just good.
Which I would imagine if you're interacting with your chat, I'm playing both sides here. If you're interacting with your chat, it's probably very hard to be super hyper-focused competitive while you're reading the chat and responding to people in the chat.
Right, right. And that's why Battle Royales, I think, are kind of a better thing, right? Because, maybe in Call of Duty. I don't know how SBMM works in Call of Duty Battle Royale. I don't know. In Apex, they say they removed it. I don't know how true that is, but, just go with me for a second. Okay. You're streaming. You're potentially trying to interact with chat. I'm sure it's not easy. But don't blame the system. Blame your own talent. When I lose in Rocket League, some days I'm not playing a great day. Some days I am, though. I ain't going to front. Some days I'm good and my teammates suck. I keep it real. But some days I suck. I'll often say sorry to the team sometimes. I'm sorry. I played like trash. I'm sorry. So, yeah, you want to be a streamer, which for some people, not all, but, a select few, it's a lucrative kind of venture, right? So cool, do that. But don't say playing against people on my level makes the game suck. That sounds weird. Doesn't it to you? I had to play against a bunch of people on my level today.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was terrible, bro. I just want to play against regular lobbies. Well, what is a regular lobby? That's such a, again, man, that's such a qualitative phrasing. I just want to play against a regular lobby. So you want a bunch of people, so you want, some 7 KD dudes with some 0.5 KD dudes? That doesn't sound like it's regular for the 0.5 KD dudes. Like I said, I just think people need to grow a pair and just play tough. Now, I don't play Call of Duty, so this particular SBMM doesn't affect me. But I do play Rocket League and got the hours to back it up. And yes, every time I hop on, I don't get nothing easy unless somebody is specifically only trying air shots or something. And then, as you see, that came up lately. Well, now it's more consistent because you remember we had the story not too long ago where SBMM is a thing. My Rocket League teammate hit me up too, where they've tuned it, I guess, or whatever. So now the players aren't pulling off all all those type of clips anymore because they're playing against people on their level. So you're not just going to do an air dribble to or a ceiling flip reset because people know how to defend them at them higher levels. So it's just about that. And then they're like, they're upset. But I'm like, why? You're upset. You can't play against somebody sorrier than you. That's weird. I thought the point of competition was always to get better. And even if it's an unranked system, I thought the point of gaming was to play on somebody at your level. I mean, if unless you're playing with like legitimate friends, like couch co-op or couch fighting game competition or whatever, you may have that friend that's just like obviously a cut above the rest of you.
Yeah, but with that, and that's never fun either, right? Like back in the day when, you know, you go to your friend's house and they're like, hey, let's play this game. You're like, oh, I've never heard of it. It's like, oh, it's a great game. Let's play. And it's like Mortal Kombat 3, and they beat demolish. The crap out of you. And you're like, yeah, why is this fun? Like, this isn't fun.
You're like, why would I want to play this?
Yeah. And that's because I'm having fun. It's like, okay, you're having fun because you're beating someone who's never heard of this game before.
Right. And I'm not one into like these like bullying conversations. I don't get into a lot of like smaller conversations, but it in a way. It's not a literal, but in a way, it reminds me of like saying like I want to bully someone. Like, you know, in a way, again, mm-hmm. not overly literal. Don't run with that for some like political usage or something. I'm just saying it's like I want to beat up on people who are lesser than me, and I don't get it. I like beating people who are supposed to be good, as good as me. That's why I play Rocket League like I do, and that's why I've been a champ for I don't know how many seasons, right? It's because I'm trying to be good. And even when I'm not playing ranked, I'm still trying to be good. If you put me in a lobby with bronzes, you know how I roll. You personally know how I roll. I'm not taking it easy on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finna destroy you because I got on the game to play. So I just think the conversation's overblown. And I think, in my humble opinion, it's coming from Twitch streamers and people who feel they're good until they play against people like them. And yes. That, to me, is a minority of the community. In terms of quantitative analysis, that's my opinion. I'm not in the Call of Duty server room. I don't know. I don't have their analytics, but that's my opinion. And I just think it's kind of a tired argument. And again, you know, if you're a streamer, you don't want to stream it and everybody wants to watch it. They do have other streaming channel options. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're the only streamer in town. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Like, you know, you trying to change the direction of whole games because you feel like you're big is kind of weird to me. Just play the game and see what you can do. Now, I do believe about complaining about mechanic things or things I think need to be improved. I'm all about that. I do that myself. But SBMM at this point, I think, is kind of like a thing where it's like, oh, you just going to play with people on your level. Just get used to it. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
That's what that means. I agree, Patrick. I agree. Okay, let's move on here now to real quick. We're going to be talking about the Xbox potential price hike and some Game Pass news. So Phil Spencer came out and said that at some point, they might be doing a price hike for the Xbox or Xbox services, but not before or during the holidays. And I don't know. For me, this also, if I'm not going to lie, this is also like, oh, yes, and the sky's blue.
Yes.
It's just the way, I don't know, just the way the market's been going recently, if you've kind of been paying attention, everything has been going up in price. So, if, you know, if my gallon of milk is now $5 or whatever at the grocery store when it used to be $2 3 years ago, it would make sense that eventually my entertainment would be going up. I think it's very nice. You know, I feel like Phil is as being as open as he can be about this stuff and being as careful as he can because, you know, Microsoft is kind of winning the PR battle right now, possibly because Sony is not even really participating. They're just kind of doing nothing.
No kidding.
And then, another part, too, with this, I think, you know, why Microsoft maybe can hold off. I mean, just being theories here, just hear me out, can hold off a little bit more or take bigger hits on or lesser returns or not enough money is because Microsoft, you know, Xbox bought by Microsoft. Microsoft is 5 times bigger than Sony, and especially nowadays where Sony PlayStation is Sony's main business and the only thing that's really keeping that company overall afloat, you know, they could be like, oh, we can take, oh, hey, Xbox, oh, you only made $10 billion this year or $10 million this year, no problem. Well, Microsoft, we can handle that. So it would kind of make sense, too, why they can hold off on those price hikes as well. But I don't know. To me, this is not surprising. I know people, the fanboys come out and get into arguments about this stuff now, but it's like, no, like, unfortunately, this is the way the world works. How'd you kind of take that news, Patrick?
So I'm just going to be real. Like, when I first heard this, right, it didn't even shock me because like so many content creators, you know, just like me and you make content, so to speak, I guess, you know, in the world, the way they consider it nowadays, I watch a lot too. And it wasn't unexpected. Like everybody I watched said at some point you can expect a Game Pass price increase. I'm talking about a month or two ago, at least like at a minimum, mm-hmm. you know, so it was never like, okay. And then me personally, I top up to 3 years every year.
So Black Friday, right?
On the Black Friday sale, yeah. I top Game Pass up every year. So I'm never like, oh man, my Game Pass subscription. Like I'm just not worried about it. If you're on a month-to-month payment, though, it does suck. Microsoft has said it's profitable. So, you know, like Sony, because I've said this about Sony, Sony wants to keep their margins. It's not that they can't lower prices where they want. They just want to keep those margins.
Exactly, Patrick. Yeah. That's any business, in my opinion, too, from my experience.
Well, so I was about to say, so now I have to say, in fairness, right, clearly Microsoft wants to keep their margins. Like, that doesn't mean I think it's a great thing. I don't. For everyone, but I do understand the business move, and like you, it wasn't a surprise. Do I think it's awesome? Of course I don't. I like cheap stuff. I mean, I think we've made that kind of clear here on the Gaming Times podcast. Mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna say like I didn't expect it. That's the thing, because I totally expected it at some point. Now I will say I'm glad it's not gonna happen during the holidays. So what does that tell me? That tells me is if I didn't have a topped up Game Pass account when Black Friday hits, I'm topping up because I'm going to prevent myself from being affected very quickly if this comes, say, February or March. Like, I'm not going to be hit with it. That's the way I look at it. Like, I'm going to top up. You can only top up 3 years. If you buy codes, I don't know how long they last, but I'm like, yo, I'm not going to get affected. Game Pass is too awesome, especially at the price I'm paying for it. There's no way I'm going to let that hit me. Because they were kind enough to tell you it's not going to be during the holidays. So that's why I say sometimes you just got to take what the information they're giving you and try to make the best choice that, you know, you can for you. So you can be like, oh, okay, well, they're not going to raise it. Let me take advantage of that right now while they're not going to raise it. Yep. And I think that's the way I'll proceed. But in the overall thing, it's the same thing as with Sony. I'm going to keep the same energy. They want to maintain a margin. I don't love it. Unfortunately, I understand it. You know, in terms of the way they're thinking. I don't like it, though. I don't want somebody saying, oh, you're a fan. No, I'm not a fan. But this is why I try, especially when we do our things about gaming on a budget. This is why I try to tell everybody to capitalize when you can on a budget, because you can make out far better off, right? You can be like, okay, well, I'm going to game on a budget. Now I have, you know, said 3 years of Game Pass. I don't have to worry about anything else. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good. Like, y'all can raise the price to $100. It would suck for you and people would leave, but I don't have to care. So I think
because everything is. Yep, I agree. Yeah. Take advantage of those Black Friday sales, Patrick. That's a moral of the story here.
Man, every time I'm already looking. I'm already out there scouring them. So I hope everybody else is doing the same, because, like I said, it's coming to a point now where you have to think about whatever your entertainment hobby is, you got to try to find a way to minimize the cost to you. Because to your point, when we never discuss reasons, we don't get into that stuff, but everything is going up in price. Your food you eat, gas, thankfully, has come down a little bit. But, you know, a lot of stuff out here is going up in price. So you have to make sure you can get your entertainment stuff done at a budget. It's why I don't buy so many games new. Because I'm just waiting on a sale. It's not personal with them. It's just, stuff's going up. I gotta maintain my margins too, because I'm worried about my wallet. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah. There we go. That is the moral of the story, man. Capitalize on the Black Friday deal. Yep.
Okay, Patrick, that leads us to the last topic of this episode, our Twitter question. Patrick, would you like to lead this one off?
Sure. Let me go ahead and get my screen up here, because I thought it was, you know, every once in a while I scour the questions on Twitter and I find interesting ones that I think I want to cover on the show. And so I found one from the name is Old Man Broken, but it's at Broken Games with a Z, HDR underscore. And it said, people say old games were better. While those classic games were amazing, I don't believe any of you would trade gaming as a whole in 2022 for gaming as a whole in 1995. I'm talking about the entire experience. Gaming now has its BS, but if you say you would trade, you're a liar. So I sat down and was thinking about this. And I even retweeted this and I said, while the race is closer than one might assume, I may have to agree, but it's not as simple as the games. If it was just about that, I may actually take the 90s or even the early 2000s. And here's the thing. Right. Clearly, the library is bigger because we've gone forward in time. But some of the games from the 90s are still being made today. They're still being made today. Chrono Trigger, we've had releases lately. We just had the Pixel Remaster for Final Fantasy. Again, I'm a big JRPG fan. We've had, you had on the Sega Saturn, you had some of the best shmups of all time. It's not like, and those are still being remade, no less. I just bought Ikaruga on a Switch, right? So, like, there's not like gaming in the 90s was bad in terms of games. Also, there was no DLC. That didn't exist. You got a complete game when you got it.
Empty discs with 200 gigabytes of download.
Yeah, right. No empty disc with or a 500 or 50 gigabyte disc with a 70 meg download link on it, and that's it. Right. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff was going on, right?
No, microtransactions, like, loot boxes.
Yeah, it was just pure gaming. Now, the business aspect was never pure. I mean, it's what it is, right? I'm no fool in that regard. But the gaming aspect was just gaming. It's pure gaming. So I'm like, I don't know if I'd take today, because if you wipe out back catalog games, they're still great games. I'm not trying. There's The Last of Us, mm-hmm. Horizon Zero Dawn. There's God of War. There was Halo. There's a bunch of great games. I can't even list them all. But there's also, you have the remakes. But the thing is, the thing that's different today, which is what I had, it was two major areas that I had to think about today. One is that you can download a game. Now, even though that's not totally new, because Japan had some stuff early on that you could do that with, I think it was like around the Super Nintendo era. I can't remember the name of it.
Was it the Sega Genesis or Sega Saturn had an Ethernet cord? Anybody else?
I think the Dreamcast was the first one I remember here, but I didn't have it. I'm not a big Saturn guy, so I don't remember. But I know that Nintendo or somebody had something where you could like download ROMs or something back in the day. I've watched some like history videos and seen kind of it. It never hit here. Like, we never had it. But in Japan, that was a thing. But today, anybody can go to a storefront digitally and buy a game. So, like, as long as the game is still available in the storefront, you can buy it. Now, rights aside, because I've seen games get removed and stuff disappear, we're not going to shout out to PT. We're not going to go all there. But I think that is cool. As much as people talk about the online experience, I do kind of miss the like friend community experience. I think that's kind of comparable, to be honest. GoldenEye 4 player. There were things around that you could do. And I know I may be going a little beyond 95 with some of these games, but there were things you could do to have a Mario Kart, right? You could have a great multiplayer experience on the couch. It's just your friends had to come by. And to be fair, I'm older now. So that's why online is different than, say, couch, right? It's only because of my age, not because of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. If I was 12, I could still go to, or let's say 16, we could still meet up together and play over everybody's house, right? Because we don't have jobs and a mortgage to worry about.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, how hard it is just to coordinate people to get online at the same time to play a game.
From our own homes now. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, but that's still cool. The other thing that I really thought about, shout out to Microsoft on this, is accessibility. Not just Microsoft. The reason I shouted out Microsoft specifically, though, is for that controller. I want one in my game room just to have it, by the way. I haven't got one yet, but I will. The adaptive controller. I think it's called the Xbox adaptive controller. I think that thing is super crazy cool. Like, so now you've increased gaming to an audience that couldn't do it before. That is what I think really makes today stand out versus yesterday. Because yesterday, if you couldn't grab a controller, bro, you just couldn't grab a controller. Like,
yeah, you're stuck watching.
Yeah, so, and you know me, I'm about the growth of gaming. Yeah. So I think that was really cool. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, no, I was just going to say, Patrick, I think it's hard. I think it's a little bit easier for me because I think the early 2000s weren't the best of video games, in my opinion. Yeah, not the best, not saying it's the worst, but I think if you look back at the old school JRPGs of early PlayStation 1 era and NES eras and things like that, and then even kind of moving into kind of the PlayStation 4, Xbox One era, I think that's when they kind of started a comeback. Not to say that there's no great JRPGs on the PlayStation 2 or Xbox 360 or anything like that, but I don't know, maybe too, because you talk about accessibility. You also, I think we should throw in there things like PlayStation Plus and Game Pass, where you can have these subscription services and have access to so many games for a relatively low monthly price or a yearly price. Or at this point, the price of three new games, right?
The games
you can have access to hundreds and thousands of games on pretty much on both platforms, right?
Mm-hmm.
You also have to think, you know, how many games now we're getting from Japan. You know, we talked about even some of these older games that might have never been released back in the day. You know, oh, this game came out in 2005, but never had a United States release. Now it is getting one, and it's remastered. And in these games as well, there's quality of life things where there's fast forward buttons on certain JRPGs, where there's more save points maybe or something like that. Even though you could argue that might change the game, but whatever.
Or auto saves.
Yeah, auto saves. You know, things like that. So, and I think too, gaming as a narrative whole has moved forward as well, like leaps and bounds. Not to say once again that your JRPGs and things like that didn't have great stories, but I think it's just more common now, I guess. Mm-hmm. You have something like Spec Ops The Line, or you know, even something like something little like a Last Guardian, things like that, that kind of built off of previous years, previous generations. And you know, each game, you know, a game like Metal Gear Solid will come along, and they're okay, cool. The standard for narrative storytelling has been risen again. Okay, a game like Last of Us comes up. Okay, that's the new standard for like a narrative storytelling in video games. And you know, they build on each other. So I think that's my big argument, where I guess like today's gaming, it obviously wouldn't exist without previous generations. And it's
right.
I would say it's very hard to either especially without nostalgia to go back to some of those games, you know, even something like the first Uncharted, right?
I played Uncharted. I played Uncharted 1. Like, I was like, oof.
Yeah, play the first one first, because if you don't, you are never going to play it, because that's how bad the gameplay mechanics are in it. And then still, you know, you have your witty characters and kind of a decent story with it that kind of carried that game. But if you then look at Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, and even Uncharted 4, we have this spectacle, which I think something else that has grown with the video game industry, the spectacle of games, where, you know, in Uncharted 2, you're on the train, Uncharted 3, you're on this moving sailboat where the physics are actually moving with the water in the pool and loose items are moving back and forth on the deck. Uncharted 4, you have the whole chase scene and all this stuff and the bell tower and everything. It's like the spectacle is there. Now it's not just like, I guess, theater of a mind. You know, it's not you just reading a text log and kind of seeing a kind of a still image and kind of having to use your imagination. Now, I guess you can see it now and experience it more holding the control, which I guess some might argue that's bad, but I don't know. I think the spectacle of video games have also increased greatly. And that might just be because, like I said, technology and building on previous successes.
Right. Well, and okay, so here's another point, right? When people say trade, right, generally you're thinking of going backwards, right? And I understand that perspective. But when you play a game in its time, it's always different. So, like, the reason you can look back and say Uncharted 1, or we can pick, like, Ni No Kuni, right? Just anything. When you play it in its time, it hits different than if you go back and play it, because the lessons have been learned. So when I looked at the question, I was thinking of everything in their time. Because clearly, not only technologically have things gone forward, but like you said, like just the quality of life stuff that people have improved on, that we know how to improve on now, is leaps and bounds, at least in JRPGs. I will push back a little bit on JRPGs on, say, 360, because like you'll get some. I mean, I haven't played them all, even though I do have them all. But there are some highly regarded ones like Lost Odyssey, Magna Carta 2.
Well, and that's what I was saying. I'm not. There's definitely good games on there. I just don't know.
No. And I'm not saying you're attacking it. I'm just saying those are the ones that quickly come to mind. And I still want to get on Lost Odyssey. It's just in the backlog. But, you know, to your point, a lot of the technological aspects of games today far outshine those of yesterday. But I think if you played yesterday's games in their time, they wouldn't. It would be monumentally groundbreaking in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite examples, and I've talked to the other Isaac about this quite often. He'll laugh if he's listening. But we always talk about Mario 3. And I always tell them, I do still believe that Mario 3 is one of the greatest platformers ever made. But it's rare that I recommend somebody play Mario 3. You see what I'm saying? Like, I truly believe that game is almost perfection. Like, it's literally almost perfection. If not, I mean, it's close. I think Tetris, like, is literal perfection. But, like, Mario 3 is almost perfection. But if somebody's like, hey, I want a platformer to play, I wouldn't say go play Mario 3. Because one is because for some people that's hard to go get. See, there's one of the problems. So one, it's like, where are they gonna play? Where's the average gamer gonna play Mario 3 at? I mean, yeah, you can play it on your Switch with the subscription, I guess, now. But you see what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean I feel any different about it. I go back and play it all the time. But I play that game in its time. So I look at it differently. If you like, for here's a great example. Let's say 10 years from now, we all look at the original Last of Us. It may be that the game looks like something you wouldn't want to ever play again. But you'll remember it in its time and why it was so groundbreaking. So that's why it's hard to always go back from a present point. That's why I try to look at things in their time. Because if you go back from where you are today, a lot of things are going to look old no matter how great they are. Chrono Trigger still holds up. I can't use Chrono Trigger. But
I think Chrono Trigger still holds up.
I was trying to think, like, I got you. Well, now you go to RPG. Biker Mice from Mars. Fun little racing game. Super Nintendo, right? Awesome game. Nobody's probably going to go back to that. But if you play it in its time, it's awesome. Or even the original Mario Kart, for as groundbreaking as that was. But are you really going to not play Mario Kart 8?
Yeah. But then you do, to kind of like counter that, right? You do have something like, I think Burnout Takedown. Now, granted, I haven't played it in a while, but I think Burnout Takedown is still the best Burnout that they have made.
It is the best Burnout they've made, but is it the best action racing game available for someone to play?
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, that's what you said, yeah. Which maybe Todd, I'm not sure. You probably can get it on the 360 or, the Xbox backlog. But yeah, that's a great point because it came on the PlayStation 2.
Right.
So it's like that might be difficult to go find, and then you don't got to talk about finding a TV that you can play it on too nowadays.
And maximize the experience, and you see what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing that makes it tough if you take things out of their time. But I still say, remembering that moment in its time as a kid, I still do believe that it's a lot closer than people may believe. In terms of just the games, just the software, there's a lot of greatness in that software library, especially. If you're not because in 95, we couldn't stare at 2022. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You was in 95. You couldn't be like, man. And we used to believe crazy stuff. Like everybody believed back in Madden 08, what Madden would look like today. And it looks nothing like we thought it would.
Yeah. Well, and something else too, I want to add on here too, is just how big gaming is. I'm really curious if back in the day, people playing video games in the 90s and early 2000s, would be like, oh yeah, this is going to eventually eclipse Hollywood. And it's not going to be something that you get made fun of or get bullied about or kind of get shunned about. No, it's going to be pop culture, essentially. It's going to be mainstream. Everybody's going to game in some way. You know,
right.
And
right.
We talk about, you know, like Facebook games, mobile games and stuff like that. Imagine if you go back in time, you say, hey, like 10 years from now, you know, again, Patrick, 10, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, your mom is going to be playing video games.
Right, with the Wii, right, or something like that.
Candy Crush, you know, stuff like that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's, it's so crazy to think about where we are. But I do have to say that I agree with the take. I do agree that knowing what I know today, I wouldn't change what we have today. Because also there's the TV tie-ins, there's the IP stuff, there's, you know, books, and there's all the trinkets you can get around video games, the collectibles, your statues and t-shirts and comics. And, you know, it's a much bigger thing. If you'd have told me gaming or comics would be where they are today, I've often said I would have laughed at you because it was like such a nerd thing. You know what I mean? It was like, this is what I do. Nobody cares. Now it's like mainstream and everybody seems to love it. So it's wild. So I wouldn't trade that as either. But the reason I had to pause is because I was like, if you ever said just the games, I think it's far more of a debate than people think.
Yes.
It's, you know, because every step has been amazing. Like, would you have The Last of Us without Ninja Gaiden?
No.
Right? It's just a legit question to me. Like, because that was the first time you kind of saw a story on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Now and then Final Fantasy X, right? Where you got voice. First time you got voice that I remember. So now you have voice, story, and cutscenes, and directors, and actors, and, you know, so everything is this natural progression. So like I said, just games, I don't know. But the entirety of gaming, which to be fair is what was said, I do have to agree.
Yeah, I don't think it'd hold up, unfortunately. But that's because I would say let me see if I can get this right now. I would say modern gaming is what it's at by standing on the shoulders of the giants from the 90s and 80s and 2000s, right?
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. I mean, as great as Atari was, Nintendo really, to me, deserves far more credit than they get for where gaming is.
They don't need credit when they have a monopoly on nostalgia.
Nostalgia, which is correct. Disney video games, bro. So, yeah, but mm-hmm. I will say that I agree with that. Modern gaming stands on those shoulders. And one other thing about the entirety of gaming, now we have far more indie developers.
Yep.
So
that's come about with the digital, right?
It's easier
to get your games somewhere.
Digital and cloud as well, because mm-hmm. there's cloud infrastructure they can get assistance with. I've seen Sarah Bond talk about that. There's a lot of stuff there. I don't know what
PlayStation does. Unreal, right?
And how yeah. If you don't sell a million, there's a discount, right? With mm-hmm. Unreal, if you don't, depending on how many you sell, right? So there's so many things out there to get us more software that clearly wasn't there in 95. I mean, that's abundantly clear. So, you know, there's a lot of things where I could definitely take away that is, I mean, just light years ahead of where we were in 95. I just don't think software alone I just think if you did software alone, it's a far more nuanced conversation. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah, because there's so many pieces of gaming. Also, this may not literally be gaming, but it's something I appreciate due to the technology around it, is I can reach out to a developer now. I can reach out to an artist now. I can speak to a game director now. I couldn't do that. I mean, for me, it's always better. But, yeah. I get your point. But, you know what I'm saying? That aspect to me is cool, too. So, yeah, it's a great question. And it really got my brain thinking. A great post by Broken Games, HDR_. But it's just a post that got me thinking about the entirety of where gaming is today. And the more I thought about it, the more it was a win for today, for sure. When you say in its entirety.
Yeah, in its entirety, I agree. I agree. Today wins. Okay, that is going to be our show for today. Patrick, do you have anything else you would like to add on real quick before we wrap up?
No, just always great to do the show. I'm looking for an interesting day of sports. And, hopefully the snow that's predicted for this week doesn't bury me.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been Gaming Times. We post every Monday at noon. If you would like to email the podcast with a question, you can at gamingtimes09@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_IDK. Patrick, where can the people find you?
You can find me at Gaming Times Patrick. You can email me, at gamingtimespatrick@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at TimesPat.
I want to thank everybody for listening.
And remember, enjoy gaming.